will be in the Gospel of Mark
and the 10th chapter. The Gospel of Mark and the 10th chapter. Give you a thought for this afternoon. I was in the house after church this morning and was looking over my sermon for tonight, and already kind of had an idea what I was going to do tonight, but I got finished looking over my sermon, and I told Davina and Caroline, I said, well, I've got to make a decision. I've either got one really long sermon or two short sermons. And they voted real quickly in the kitchen and decided I had two quick sermons. And so, it was a unanimous vote, too. It went pretty unanimous, but I felt like that's what the Lord was going to have us do anyways. I just want to give you a thought tonight, and I'll finish the thought next Sunday night, but hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Mark chapter 10, and we'll read verse 13, 14, and 15, and then leave your Bible open. We'll look at one other portion of the text before we're finished, but if you want to stand, now's the time to do that. Stretch your legs for a second, and let's read these verses together. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Father, I pray you help us in these next moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday night, we began to look at Mark chapter number 10. And as we began, I told you that Mark 10 is certainly a chapter of paradoxes. We see at the beginning of the chapter that two shall be one. We see later on that adults should be like children. We'll see that the first should be last. Masters should become servants. And finally, at the end of the chapter, we see the poor shall become rich. And as we looked at this first paradox last Sunday night, this two shall be one, we spoke about the subject of divorce. Divorce is a subject that everybody in the world is talking about, and nobody in the church is talking about. And I personally believe that if we talked about it more in the church, we might not need to talk about it so much outside of the church. But that was last Sunday night. Tonight I want us to look at the next part of this chapter. In the remaining part of the chapter, Jesus begins to teach different messages or lessons on what I think is the kingdom of God. I believe that that becomes his focus. Jesus tells us to enter into the kingdom of God like a little child. There's a rich young man that comes to Jesus and asks how he can enter into the kingdom of God. Two of the disciples in this chapter ask to rule in the kingdom of God. And finally, a blind man receives the kingdom of God in the end of the chapter. And so the rest of this chapter speaks to us about the kingdom of God. Now, it's interesting the way that it's given to us, these lessons on the kingdom of God. They are given to us by four illustrations or four stories. And these four stories are broken down into two sets of two. Two contrasting stories that talk to us about the kingdom of God, and then two other contrasting stories that again talk to us about the kingdom of God. It seems that we learned these two lessons by the way of contrast. The first lesson is this. Mark teaches us about receiving the kingdom of God. And then he talks to us about rewards in the kingdom of God. Tonight I want to look at this first set of contradictions, these two stories. I want to preach tonight on powerful principles about the kingdom of God. Powerful principles about the kingdom of God. My message has two points. Four subpoints. I'll give you the first point and the first two subpoints tonight, and then we'll be out of here. I want you to see this tonight. I want you to see the story about receiving the kingdom. Receiving the kingdom. After Jesus answers the Pharisees' questions about divorce, the scripture tells us about two stories in which instances of people coming to Christ. In these two instances, we're given two illustrations of the two ways that people try to enter in to the kingdom of God. I want you to see this. First of all, I want you to see the humble children. The humble children. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them." And it was very common in this day for Jewish parents to bring their children to the rabbi so the rabbi could give them some sort of a blessing. Therefore, it was reasonable for these parents to bring their children to Jesus so that he could bless them. Now, we don't know what age these children were. Some of these children were certainly very small. We believe that some of them were of the age that they could walk, because the Bible said, Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." It seems like they were coming to him. They were old enough to walk. But Luke tells us in Luke 18:15 that some of these children, this is Luke's word, some of these children were infants, is the way that Luke says it. Therefore, it seems that these were young children from infancy to probably toddler-like age. But the reality is that it didn't matter how old these children were. When they came to Jesus, he was ready and willing to accept them. I think that's wonderful, don't you? I think that it is wonderful to see that the invitation of Christ is come. It does not matter how old you are or how small you are, what your age is. His invitation to all is the same, and his invitation is come. You see, the reason I think that's so wonderful is because I believe that we've got some young children here at this church that are on the cusp of coming to Jesus Christ. And it's good to know that when we come to Christ, whether we come as a child or we come as an adult, whether we come young or whether we come old, Jesus' open invitation is that we can come to him. I was blessed just a few weeks ago to go see my nephew get baptized at his home church, Valley View Baptist Church. He was just barely big enough to be seen over the water, but he got saved, and I'm thankful for that. And I'll be honest with you, I believe that these children that grow up in church, while it may seem like they're coloring and they're playing in the pews, there's a Holy Ghost that is working in their hearts, and they're picking up things here and there. And they grow up in church, and they learn things early, and they'll come to Christ young. Hey, I prayed for my babies, and I prayed for my nieces and nephews, and I've prayed for your children. God, save them young, save them young, save them young. And I'm thankful that Jesus does not have an age limit. He is not discriminating. He said, if they want to come, you let them come. I say, raise them up in the lap of Jesus. Amen. That's what I say. Now, of course, we know that the disciples were not as welcoming as their master was. In fact, they tried to send the children away. It seems that they did not believe the Lord had time to spend with the little children. He had more important things to do. He had more important matters to attend to. In fact, I think there's no doubt these men thought they were doing Jesus a favor by saying that he doesn't have time. Oh, there's a couple problems with that. This is not my message, but it is interesting. There's a couple problems with that. First of all, these men had already forgot what Jesus had told them just in the previous chapter. In the chapter before this, Mark chapter 9, Jesus said in verse 36 and 37, "And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him up in his arms, he said unto them," to his disciples, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever receiveth not me, but him that sent me. In one chapter previous to this, Jesus held a little child and said, if you receive a child, it's just like you received me. And now here they are in the next chapter saying, y'all get on out of here. He's too busy for you. There's a problem with that. But before we judge them too harshly, how often do we fail to apply God's teachings in our own life? We hear something from the pulpit or we read something in our Bible and we say, well, that's for brother so-and-so. I wish they were here tonight. Well, no, it might be for us. Secondly, this was becoming a pattern in these men's lives. This wasn't the first time they'd tried to send somebody away. It seemed that they were getting good at determining who was worthy of God and who wasn't. And they determined that these children were not. When these disciples try to send the children away, Jesus becomes angry. Now that may shock you to learn that Jesus became angry, but he did. He got upset. In fact, he is so upset, he openly rebukes them in verse number 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. What's that mean? It means he was angry. He was much displeased, and he said unto them, in the midst of the multitude, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. He openly rebuked his disciples so that everybody could hear what he was saying. And then Jesus takes the children, and he uses them as an example of the kingdom of God. He said, these little children are like the kingdom of God in that they are humble. And when we come to Christ, we must come humbly. Amen. They are like the kingdom of God in that they are dependent. These children were dependent on someone else to meet every need of their life. Your children, your grandchildren, they are dependent upon somebody. If you don't take care of them, they will not survive. Do you know what God wants from you and me? He wants us to be humble and He wants us to be dependent. He wants us to get over this, I can do it on my own mentality. Just get before God and say, Abba, Father, I've got a need. They're like the kingdom of God in that they're receptive. They are receptive. They're like the kingdom of God in that they are accepting. You know, a child will believe about anything that you tell them. But most of all, these children are a great example of what it takes to enter into the kingdom of God because children live by faith. Children are totally dependent on somebody else and they have faith that that person will meet the needs of their life. I've said this before, I've used this illustration before, but these children, you sometimes, sir, ma'am, may doubt how you're going to buy groceries for the week, but they don't. They have no doubt that when it's supper time, there's going to be something to eat. Now, they don't understand you got a job and you got bills to pay and you got to work all that mess out. All they know is when they're hungry, mama goes and gets them something to eat. You know what that is? That is simple childlike faith. And do you know what it takes for us to enter into the kingdom of God? Just simple childlike faith. Just faith, just faith, just faith. Today, the only way that a man or a woman can enter the kingdom of God is they realize they are incapable of meeting the need of their life. They turn to Christ in faith and become dependent upon Him for salvation. And can I just say this in passing? This is not my message, but do you know what God wants from us after we get saved? It's still just simple childlike faith. He just wants you to trust Him. He just wants me to trust Him. In fact, He says things like this, why don't you cast your cares upon me? I care for you. Just give it to me. Take no thought for the morrow. The morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things. I'll add those to you. And we sit and we twiddle our thumbs and we worry and we lose sleep and we fret. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? What are they going to think? And all the time God's saying, just trust me. Amen. Just trust me. I'll work this stuff out. He still says, I Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. Everything that happens to us isn't always good, but He always works it out and makes it good in the end. Oh, we see these humble children. What does it take to enter into the kingdom of God? It's just simple faith. But I want you to see the contrast to this. Not only do I see the children, but I see the honored ruler. The honored ruler. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, and when he had gone forth into the way, there come one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Good master, what must I do? That sounds really good. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. That verse stumps a lot of people. I'll explain it to you here in a minute. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The story of the rich young ruler is the exact opposite story of the little children that just come to Jesus Christ. Both stories are similar in that in each story someone comes to Christ. Both are similar in that each story teaches us something about the kingdom of God. But they are totally opposite in the way that they seek coming to the kingdom of God. The story of the rich young ruler is an interesting one. It is interesting because this may very well be, this, y'all help me if I've missed one, but this may very well be the only person in all of the Bible who ever come to the feet of Christ and left worse than he came. This young man had everything going for him. He had his age on his side. The Bible says that he was young. He had a high position. The Scripture says he was a ruler. He had money and possessions, for the Scripture tells us that he was rich. He had morals. You said, did he have morals? Sure he did. When he comes to Jesus, he is serious. He is serious in that he has a desire to follow Jesus. You know what he had to his account? What was the most favorable thing he had? He had the love of God. For verse number 21 says that Jesus saw him and he loved him. He loved him. But in spite of all these things, he had one great problem. Do you know what his problem was? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking his problem was that he had riches. No, that's not his problem. His problem was that he thought he could earn salvation. That was his problem. He believed that a good moral life and religious rituals were enough to earn salvation. This wasn't the first time Jesus had to deal with somebody that believed this way. The Jews believed that they could work good enough to earn their salvation. In John 6, 28 and 29, the Bible says, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You see, they're trying to earn their salvation. And Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus said, you want to know the one work that God accepts? It's the work of faith. Believe on me. You see, that's still common today. Many people believe that they can do something, do enough of something, and earn God's favor. They believe their goods can outweigh their bads. The problem with this thinking is that this thinking is against the plan of God. In fact, I'm going to say something right here, and you don't get upset with me, but I believe that this thinking is not only against the plan of God, but this thinking is against the very God of heaven himself. You see, when you and I are inwardly focused when it comes to salvation, we think we can do it. We are exalting man.
those of us who are saved. You say, what's the principle for me? If we're gonna come to the kingdom, if we're gonna come to the King, even after salvation, we're gonna have to do it the same way.
Amen.
We're gonna have to stop beating our chest and saying, look what I've done, and we're just gonna have to be dependent and come in faith, and God will hear us. Brother Scott's gonna sing a song. If there's anything you need to pray about, these altars are open.